good to see y'all. Well, some of you, just part of you, but it is so good to be back. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited for our graduates. This song's for you. I have to have a cheat sheet. I'm not young like Jasmine. I can remember them really well, but this hymn is just very special to me. I love it, and I pray this for y'all, that Jesus Christ would be your vision throughout your entire life, that you would give your hearts and lives over to him, that everything you do would be to glorify him. So I just ask that you would pray for our graduates as they step out into the big bad world. And I know that God will go with them, and I know that he'll lead and guide each of you. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler.
That's a very old song. I think that the words of it, at least, maybe it's progressed through the years, but the words of that song over the years date back to maybe even the early centuries, maybe even the 6th century. I'm not real sure. I'd have to look at my notes on that, but it certainly is a powerful, powerful song. And everything that's going on here has been very powerful. We're so proud of our graduates. More than that today, more than even these precious, wonderful graduates, we are in awe of our holy, awesome, righteous God. Amen. And so we've come to this part of the service whereby we are worshiping God. You know, I always like to do things, special things, recognition things, ahead of worship, because we do that, and that really is not worship. It has nothing to do with worship. It's a good thing to do as a church, and we do that gladly. But we do that first, and then we say, okay, now it's time that we actually do what we came here to do, what we come here for every Sunday to do, and that is to worship God Almighty. So I pray that your heart is right now in tune with God to do just that. Our text today is Acts chapters 1 and 2. Now, there are 73 verses in those first two chapters of Acts put together, but I just want to cite some of them today, about 22 of them, and I'll read them fast as I ask you to stand together. We'll be starting with chapter 1, verse 12, and reading through several passages from chapter 2 as well. The words will also be on your screen. Our Father, as we stand before you today with our Bibles open, our hearts open, I pray, God, that you would speak to us through this great, great book of dynamic, God-wrought history. God, it is true. It happened. This is what you did. This is the way it was. May it be as it was, God. God, speak to our hearts. Set us on fire for your glory. Save the lost. Revive your church. Deal with hearts today in the very way that they need it. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 12 this morning. Now, understand that this is, of course, right after Jesus has ascended. Jesus dead, buried, resurrected, walked the earth for 40 days, and is now ascending. And they're looking at him ascend. And the angel said, he's coming back in the same manner that he is leaving you now. And so that brings us to verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey, under a mile. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And of course, it was there that they elected Matthias to take Judas's place, and they were there in that upper room. Now let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's how they were. They were there, united. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were and where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were there. The Holy Spirit came. They were empowered to speak in languages that they did not know. And there were people all around them that heard these languages. And there was all kinds of reaction and response there. Now, skip down to verse 14. This is where Peter, in the midst of all this, stands up and begins to preach. Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that ye dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken. They said they were drunk. They said that they had been drinking. But he said, they're not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, as Joel prophesies, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, in the last part of that prophecy, as Peter would tell it in verse 21, he says this, and this was part of the prophecy. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 22 says, as Peter continues his sermon, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then skipping down to the last section here, verse 36, of course, there was all kinds of information given as Peter preached the gospel. And then the Bible says in verse 36, as Peter continues, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." With many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now I call that exponential growth, don't you? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then, of course, the last section there of Acts 2 just basically gives us a snapshot of life in the early church. They were there witnessing signs and wonders, of course, great ministry, love and fellowship, worship, and more conversion. So there we have it. There we have it. Today's message is entitled, From the Grand Opening to the Grand Reopening. You may be seated. So even in synopsis form this morning, we see the church come into being once again in the scriptures and functioning according to God's agenda for her. Not according to their own agenda, but according to God's agenda. So the church begins. Now we've been here before. You know, when I first came here not too long after that, several years ago, it'll be 9 years in August, I began preaching a series of messages through the book of Acts. And I pushed a campaign that we called Back to the Book, if you remember. And we're still there, by the way. But as we think about this once again this morning, it is very appropriate for us to do so. If you'll remember, Wednesday night, I preached a message on Facebook or did a message there on Facebook and dedicated it to our graduates, of course. From the first three chapters of the great book of the Revelation. Of course, we've been there as well before. And we talked about those seven churches once again, very briefly. And of course, this was all dedicated to the grads. And of course, today we are honoring our grads. So this message really connects really well with Wednesday night's Facebook message. Because then, as I told you, as we think about the promotion of these graduates into life, we talked about the real world, you know, and of course the title of Wednesday's message on Facebook was The Real World. And then we, of course, tied that to the church because there in those few chapters of Revelation, of the book of the Great Revelation, we know that Jesus is speaking in such a way as to promote these people to a better way of life, to living up to the agenda that he had established for them. So we're still on that theme in a sense. So today's message is very similar to that in scope and in purpose. Because once again, we see here on the day of Pentecost a great and an awesome graduation. So let's talk for just a while this morning in regard to what we see here in these passages and this passage of Scripture this morning, and hopefully make some application. So first of all, this is what we see. We see, number one, the church in gestation form. Now, the body of Christ is of course often compared to human life in Scripture. And so as we think about life as it begins, and we of course believe that life begins in the womb, amen? Because it does, amen? And so we find, metaphorically, spiritually speaking, the church in gestation form as we began reading just a few moments ago. They went back to Jerusalem and they were there in that upper room, a spiritual womb, if you will. The church had not been born yet. They were there praying, the Bible tells us. They were there restructuring. They replaced Judas with Matthias, and all of that is given to us. But they were there for 10 days. Now, we don't know a whole lot more about what happened there than what we're told here in Scripture, of course. But it really was a time of waiting. This gestation period, so to speak, was a time of waiting. And then we come to the church at birth. Now, on this great day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the Passover, and as a Jewish celebration held in late May, early June, involved a feast and also the first fruits offering. God made it something brand new on this day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was the birthday of the ecclesia, the birthday of the church. As we see there in the text in chapter 2, there was a sound, as it were, of a rushing mighty wind, and there was the appearance of fire, cloven tongues as a fire that sat on each of these people of God. Now, I would say that that particular experience was an incomparable one. I don't think that could ever be imitated or emulated. I don't think it could be replicated. I think that that was a time in history whereby the church was born, and there was never a day like that since then. But it was the day of great, great beginnings, of course. They were, as the Bible tells us, there in that upper room, and they were united. Isn't that good for a church to be united? They were gathered. Isn't it good that we've been able to gather back together? That's just something to rejoice about. So they were there, united, and they were there gathered, and now the Holy Spirit comes, and they were empowered, praise God. These who knew Jesus, these who believed in Jesus, these who loved Jesus, were now new creatures in Christ who could now function, as the Bible says, with unction, as a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God had come. And verse 11 tells us that when they began to speak, what they were saying in languages that they did not know, miraculously, they were propagating, they were promoting, they were talking about the wonderful works of God, according to verse 11. And then Peter, of course, stood up as we read, and he preached this wonderful first gospel message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now the Spirit of God has indwelt this group of people. He has enlivened them. I would say that it was a mind-boggling, phenomenal, spectacular, overwhelming occurrence, to say the least. And we could go on and on about that. Here the Spirit of God, the regenerator, the power of the church, who was like, metaphorically speaking, the fire of the furnace, the wind of the storm, and the water in the river. He had come, and the church was born. And in and through them, the Holy Spirit worked to the glory of God. That's what it was all about. That's why the church is here. What had been prophesied by Joel and others was now coming to pass. And the church, beloved, as we see there in Acts chapter 2 and beyond, hit the ground running. And the gospel was proclaimed, and the Bible tells us that thousands of people were saved. So we go from the gestation, or the church in gestation, to the church at birth. And then finally, we see the church as thriving, the church alive. They started, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly. I think it was an exciting time for planet and on planet Earth. There was, as the Scripture tells us, preaching, there was teaching, there was giving, there was unity, there was joy, there was worship, there was praise, and there was spiritual growth. Let me tell you this about the early church, and I want you to understand this. They stood out as those who were called out. The word ecclesia means the called out ones, called out from the world. Well, they weren't just those who were called out. You know, sometimes I think today we realize we're called out of the world, but we just want to hide after that and just wait until we go to heaven and not really live the life and thrive as we should. But these people, they stood out. Not proud of themselves, but proud of the Christ who died for them. And they exemplified Christ because of the Holy Spirit who indwelt them. They stood out in the crowd and in the world as those who were called out. So get that today. They were a real church, as we talked about Wednesday night, in a real world. And of course, we see in verse 13 right away, as these people began to speak in languages that they did not know, miraculously proclaiming the wonderful works of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed. There were people there that were saying, "These people are drunk." They were reacting to what they were seeing. There's always that crowd who just don't get the church. They don't get these holy rollers, these people who supposedly love Jesus. They don't get it. They think that we're fanatics. I hope we are for Jesus. And so we find this right away, this reaction. But as we once again look at this organization, or better yet, this organism, this alive organism called the church, and consider these historical facts, and that's what Acts is. It's a bunch of facts. It's what actually happened. It's a report. There is one major lesson that we can always gain from it as we look back to it, as we get back to the book of Acts, and that is that we desperately need to get back to the book. I'm just waiting on some agreement. I don't know. Maybe I should just keep preaching. Dear God, we've got to realize it first, church. You got to come to that point. You'll never get to point B until you get to point A. You've got to realize first that, yes, we need to get back. There's a great need to get back to the book. I've been preaching it for 9 years. Anybody agree? Do we need to get back to the book? I hope so. You know, here's the exciting thing. I always like to look back at where we came from and maybe realize who our ancestors were. And of course, you can get caught up in that. And the Bible speaks about not getting caught up in genealogies, but still, it's good to understand where we came from, right? And here's the thing about this, spiritually speaking, we came from that, what I just read to you. We came from the day of Pentecost. We spiritually came from that group of people in the upper room who were filled with God's Spirit. The church was born and has continued now for almost 2,000 years. You know, that's not that long ago. It's, what, 65 plus generations ago if you count a generation as 30 years. Not that long ago, our great, 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 you know, you're on 65 times. And there, that's Peter. Hey, Peter, Grandpa. Not naturally speaking, but spiritually speaking, yeah. And the church was born. And that's our roots. It wasn't long, though, before perversion set in. And we read about that in the book of Acts. We've been there. We've talked about that more than once. And you know, this perversion that we see there, we still battle it today. You know, we came from that. The church has continued. It has never died. We're not perfect, but we're still here. But we still struggle with this thing called perversion. And that is simply this. When God does something great and God gives us an agenda, we take that agenda, as we talked about last week with the people of Israel, when Joshua spoke to them, yes, we will obey. Yes, we're ready to commit our lives. And we say the same thing, especially when we get saved. And what do? It doesn't take long before we say, well, God, we've got this. We don't really need to do it your way. We'll twist it. We'll do it a little bit your way, but we'll do it our way too. That's what we do. That's how we respond. That's how we react. And so the church is not perfect because it's full of imperfect people. But thank God we're saved. Thank God we can do better. And as I look at this, I realize, and I hope we all do, that it was as much like heaven as it absolutely could be on this earth. And we could go on and on and on about what we see there in the early church, and we have talked about it before. But let me just boil it down for us today. We've seen and we've talked about the fact that the church was there in the upper room in gestation form. Then the church was born and the church began to thrive. Let's boil it down. This is what we see. We see a fulfillment of a promise. Jesus told them. He said, you'll receive in Acts 1:8. He said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. We see the fulfillment of that promise, the Spirit of God right there. Then we also see a birth of a people, the church of the living God. We see them come to life spiritually. We also see, of course, a demonstration of a power, straight, absolute, pure omnipotence. Only God could have done this. And we finally see a revelation of a purpose, and that was, of course, to glorify God. So we see here a fulfillment of a promise, a birth of a people, a demonstration of a power, and a revelation of a purpose. But let me talk a little bit more about what we see. Okay? Second outline, actually third. We see a Savior revered. You see, that's what the church is all about. The church is about revering the blessed Savior who established us. We are His body. He is our head. We are the body of who? Christ. We're the body of Christ. I want to see if you were listening this morning. A Savior revered. We also see a Spirit regenerating. You know what the Spirit of God does? The Spirit of God does a lot of things. But let me tell you one thing He does so wonderfully, so beautifully at salvation. He is the very one who wakes us up spiritually to the very fact that Jesus Christ died for us. We'll never realize it. We'll never embrace it until the Holy Spirit of the living God reaches down and does a work in our hearts and lives, bringing us to the knowledge that Jesus died for us. But blessed, beloved, I want to tell you, when that happens, when He wakes us up to that fact, it's like a light that comes on, and you see Jesus high and lifted up, and you can't help but say that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you'll say it, and you'll mean it. You won't just go through the motions. It'll be something that really and genuinely happens on the inside of you because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the same Holy Spirit who came on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And He's still saving people today, bringing people to the point of revering the Savior. Yeah, we see the Spirit of God regenerating. We see Him working, and He's still working today because the church is still alive. And don't let anybody ever tell you that the church is going to go out of existence. The governor, the president, no one is ever going to stamp out, and not that they're trying to, but I'm just saying that they're never going to stamp out the church. No person can do that. We'll be here as long as Christ tarries, and then we'll be snatched out of here. We see saints representing God there in the early church, even in those first two chapters, loving Him, talking about Him, preaching Him. We see the Scripture relayed, preached, propagated. We see sinners reacting. Now, we see some sinners coming to Christ. That's the Spirit of God regenerating them. But we see other sinners reacting and saying, that's just a bunch of hogwash. I don't have time for the church. That's not me. And they treat church as if it were not even significant at all. And they just do their own thing. And these sinners, and you got one extreme, some are not hostile toward the church. They just don't care anything about it. And then there are others that are hostile towards it. Like these people saying, these people are drunk. They mocked them, said they're full of wine. Peter said, no, it's not even midday yet. It's morning time. These people aren't drunk. You get drunk at night, right? You riot at night. You act like an idiot at night, right? Usually. When the sun goes down, right? I think we've seen some of that on TV lately, haven't we? Some pretty stupid behavior. From COVID-19 to crazy people. I said that earlier. That's really what we're seeing. You got two things going on in our nation right now. And we're still on this sinners reacting because they're still reacting. Let me boil it down here. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You got a cop that puts his knee on a neck and the people say he killed him. Everybody deserves a fair trial. That's just common sense. So that's not completed yet, okay? But it doesn't look good. So the guy supposedly killed somebody. It's always wrong for a cop to do something like that. We know that. But let me tell you something. The police force in and of itself is something that's ordained by God. And it in and of itself is not corrupt. It's a demented, depraved mindset that think that that is corrupt. There is corruption therein. There's corruption in the church. They're corrupt preachers, right? Corruption everywhere. But there are sinners who will jump on a bandwagon of hating everything that's good because of some corruption within. And we see that. So a cop does this. And then this is what happened. A key was made. When anything happens, a key comes. It's a key, and it can open a door. Now, this should have opened a door of solving the issue, dealing with the issue, and having the right attitude about it. And so you've got people protesting. Well, they have the right to do so. Fine, peaceful protest. I don't see much good in a lot of them. But anyway, that's just me. So you've got this protesting going on. That's peaceful. That's good. But then there are some who grab that key. They're reacting, right? We're just making application here. They're reacting, and they take that key, and they file it down, and they make it their own, and they pick the lock of a cage of animals and open it up. What in the world do you think will happen when you open the cage of an animal? They're going to come out, right? When you go to the zoo, are the lions in a cage? Are the gorillas in a cage? Are the tigers in a cage? Of course they are. You wouldn't be there if they weren't. So when some activist group opens the cage and say, come on now, wreak havoc, don't think that they won't, because they will, and they prove that o'er and o'er. Why? Because sinners react. And we live in a very sinful world, and they're still reacting. And I'm telling you, church, we've got to have a biblical perspective in all things. I've been accused before of preaching politics. No, I just preach the Word of God, because it applies to everything and anything in our lives. If it doesn't, then Jesus is not Lord of your life. Sinners react. They do that. That's just the way they are. I'm out of time, but I'm finishing up. Hold on. So what we see in all of this, and what we witness in all this, basically is the grand opening of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've made application. We've talked about today. We've done all of that. Now let's bring it back to the passage and finish up here. The grand reopening of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grand openings are usually pretty festive occasions, right? There are balloons. Hey, we've got balloons here today, don't we? Right? Balloons, and there are flags and streamers, and sometimes cake is served and punch. There are giveaways and door prizes. Very festive, very festive and very attractive situation there. They all obviously, though, pale in comparison to what was going on the day of Pentecost. Now, this grand opening was the grand opening of grand openings. But I want you to know something, that today, May 31st, 2020, according to the liturgical calendar, is Pentecost Sunday. How many of y'all knew that already? Raise your hand, a few of you. Today's Pentecost Sunday. Now, I'm usually not big on the liturgical calendar. I think we can get carried away with that sometimes. I'm not big on that usually. Now, we do celebrate Christmas usually. I do preach messages usually, probably always, in regard to the celebration of Christ's birth. And we preach on Easter, you know, Easter things. So we celebrate those times. But I don't think I've ever really celebrated and preached on Pentecost Sunday. But the Lord laid it on my heart today to do so. I don't know why we don't. That's a very important day, the birth of the church. What if you didn't celebrate the birth of your first child? Oh, forgot all about you. No. Be a little sad face and a tear, right? Break our hearts. Oh, just get over it, okay? You know, that's what we say, right? That's the way you're supposed to treat your children, right? Just make them grow up, you know? No, we don't do that, do we? So the birth of the church, very significant day, 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed it was. This is 50 days today. This Sunday is 50 days after Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. There was a grand opening of an organization that would absolutely change the world. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it was said of the Christians, of the church, that they were turning the world upside down. Wouldn't you like for somebody to say that about us? Wouldn't you like for us to be the talk of the county commissioners and the city council? What are we going to do with them Christians? They're turning things upside down. If we were as passionate about Christ as some of these folks are about rioting in the streets, dear God, you wouldn't see physical fire, but you would see spiritual fire. We are that church, folks. We're the body of Christ. And the question is, are we today functioning with that Pentecostal power? We need a grand reopening. We see a grand opening in Acts chapters 1 and 2, chapter 2 especially. But we need to see a grand reopening, hence the title. An effort to get back to what we see in this great book of Acts. I want to tell you something. I prayed during this time of quarantine, this COVID-19 crisis, I prayed that it would be a time for you, and I have been preached this way on Facebook, and I sent you messages about this. I prayed that it would be a time for you to really examine your lives and for all of us to ask, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? God, we want revival. For us to move towards that. You know, we were already planning to do a day of prayer, or prayer on the mountain, before this came up. And then when it happened, we had our own prayer meeting here. But the emphasis changed some. It wasn't just praying on the mountain for revival. It was praying for the whole world and all this crisis and everything. But still, the main need and the major need is true Holy Ghost-sent revival. Oh, how we need that. And I prayed that God would use this time of quarantine to get that across and to work in your hearts and in your lives, so that we could have an upper room experience like the disciples had just before the church was born, so that we could spend those days. It was 10 days. It was 10 weeks for us. I just thought about that. That's kind of significant, isn't it? I don't know. 10 days of being in the upper room, 10 weeks we were not at church. And I'm praying, God, when we come back together, may it not be the same. May it not be the norm, but the supernorm. May we move way beyond where we've ever been. Amen. May we have a true grand reopening, an upper room experience I begged for. And you know that upper room perhaps was the place of the Last Supper. Also, it could have been the place of this or that post-resurrection appearance of Christ when he appeared to his disciples. Very well could have been that same place. I'm not sure what those 10 days looked like there in that upper room, but it was a great meeting of the people of God. Listen, it wasn't a concert hall. It wasn't a courthouse. It wasn't a sports arena. It wasn't an amusement park. It wasn't a grocery store. But it was a quarantine of sorts. And I just can't help but compare that to the quarantine that we've just experienced. Some of you probably didn't leave your home very much at all. Wow. Not able to come together. Let me just say this, and I'll try to wrap it up. Guys, listen, we don't have to come back tonight, so just bear with me just a few more minutes, okay? When I began to think about this message, I need to share this with you. When I begin to think about this message and begin to think, hey, you know, we'll be back together on the 31st, hopefully. And of course, we actually started last week, sort of a dry run, so to speak. But we're back now, and it's the day of Pentecost. And I thought, God, that's pretty significant. And I just pray, oh God, that something would happen special, that we would have like a rebirth of the church, because the church was born that day, that it would be almost like a rebirth or a grand reopening. So I prayed that way, of course. And as I thought about that, you know, I began to think about this message and going back to the book of Acts and talking about Pentecost, knowing that it was the day of Pentecost and all that kind of stuff. And wheels were turning in my mind and my heart. And then I talked to a fellow pastor. I didn't say anything to him about it. He said something to me about it, Mark Caldwell. He wanted to know who was preaching on Pentecost Sunday because he felt like he needed to too. He said, I've never done it before. Never done that. And so he contacted me and we got to talking. I said, yeah, I'm doing that, Mark. I said, I'm not doing it because you just said it. I was already planning to do it. And so we got to talking back and forth, and I thought, man, this is a God thing because, man, it's just wonderful when you get that confirmation that you're on the right track because somebody else is on the same track. A man of God that I respect and love dearly. But it doesn't stop there. Larry drives up yesterday morning, and I've never heard Larry Keener say this before. He started talking about today being the day of Pentecost. I said, what? Have you seen my notes? He had no idea what I was preaching. Hilda didn't write this sermon today. She hadn't even seen it. So Larry got to talking to me about the day of Pentecost. I said, Larry, I'm preaching about that tomorrow. More confirmation. And then Hilda and Janet concocted this idea about bringing these balloons in just to give you graduates a little more celebration. And I thought, hey, I'm going to talk about balloons at a grand opening. So this is our grand opening, or reopening, I should say. If our graduates would let us borrow the balloons for that purpose too. Oh, listen. So I was just confirmed in my heart that this is what I need to talk about today. You know, it's a reopening whereby we're saying, and I pray that it will be, whereby we're saying, God, whatever you want, whatever it takes, we want to get back to the book. A graduation into being the real church in a real world. So I would ask you right now, how many of you would say in your heart, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or raise your hand, anything, but in your heart, in sincerity, how many of you will say that we are ready to actually start over and be transformed to all that God requires and prescribes? To answer that in your heart right now, are you really ready for that? Don't just say, yeah, because it's a good thing to say. Be honest with God. Perhaps you don't have a relationship with Jesus today. Perhaps you're not born again. I would say to you today that Jesus did die for you, buried in the borrowed tomb, was resurrected on the third day, that he lives forevermore, and that he will save your soul if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Hey, what did Joel say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you do that today? And if you do, you know where you can find me, and I'd love to talk with you about it. But I don't want us to get back to the norm. I want us to get to the super norm. That was on the sign for a while out there. But the question is, are you ready and are you willing? Ready for the grand reopening of Christ's church? Now, that's a good question for us to consider this morning. May God's church be reopened for His business. You know, our slogan, one of our mottos is being about our Father's business, Luke 2:49. May we truly reopen to be about our Father's business. As the church, born almost 2,000 years ago, and there was a grand opening of sorts on that great day of Pentecost, may Pentecost 2020, May 31st, 2020, be the grand reopening of a church that will once again change the world and turn it upside down. And the only way we can do that is just get back to the book. May we go from a grand opening 2,000 years ago, and because of what we've gone through for the last 10 weeks, may we get to a grand reopening today. Father, we thank you for your love and mercy and grace. Write these words upon our heart, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.